Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 51. My name is John. You got no time for the messenger. Got no regard for the thing that you don't understand. You got no fear of the underdog. That's why you will not survive. Last month, I went off on elitists in various levels of government who think they know better how to run your life. They think they can plug in a bunch of data and know who you are. They use generalities to assume the specific. They think that with their knowledge, they can plan our lives for us. But it's not just those in power who think this. There are those who think they know better than the rest of us everywhere you turn. They may not be in power, but some are trying to be, while others just want to throw a hissy fit because they don't like what somebody else is doing. They are the smarmy elite, and they get on my nerves. I'm going to have a few examples, but let me start off with the one that inspired this month's podcast. The people who want us to give up our smartphones and other technology. Now, this has been going on for a while, with the occasional pseudo-intellectual who fancies himself a neo-emancipator and pleads for the commoners to lie down their electronic devices and once again interact with humanity. The latest iteration of this that I saw came from a guy in England who posted his views as a poem in a short film on YouTube. Yes, in order to tell people to get off their electronic devices, this wannabe Seuss published his views on a medium only accessible by those electronic devices. Genius. Of course, the government leaves behind no dumb idea. One municipality, I believe it was in Massachusetts, I don't care to look it up, tried to urge its citizens to leave their smartphones and tablets behind for a few days. I don't know, was it a week or a month? Something like that. I still don't care to look it up. Of course, there was no actual enforcement, just a suggestion. But if you don't think some nanny stater is trying to come up with a way to enforce it, you're not up to speed on these people. Now, the people who support these kind of ideas will cite that such devices put up a barrier to human interaction. Just look at a family in a restaurant where everyone's on a smartphone and no one's talking to each other. And that's the smartphone's fault? Let me tell you something. If a family is at a restaurant and everybody's on their smartphone instead of talking to each other, the smartphones aren't the problem. They wouldn't be talking to each other anyway, and if they were, it would not be pleasant. They don't like each other to begin with, or at least they like each other so little that internet access is a welcome distraction. They're tools, just like any other thing. These tools just happen to give us access to things we like. You can argue all you want about the merits and the trappings of instant gratification. but the genie's out of the proverbial bottle. Now, granted, some of these smarmy elitists would like nothing less than a complete annihilation of technology, so we would all be forced back to sitting with our loved ones around the evening dinner table while females burn copious amounts of fossil fuels in order to prepare the last of three meals that day. But despite their efforts, we, less informed chattel, don't want to cooperate. And I'm glad they don't succeed. And I'm glad people roll their eyes in contempt when they hear these whiners spew their latest drivel. When you find people worth interacting with in your mind, you'll put the phones down. It saves us from listening to that family at the restaurant bicker at each other. And you can bitch all you want about people on social media, but that's not the only reason people use these devices. We also use them to stay informed. I have access to knowledge at my fingertips in a way that would make Encyclopedia Britannica salesmen in the past drop to their knees and weep. Maybe you'd like technology to disappear, so we revert back to our family clans, uninformed about the world, and ignorant of potential dangers, because you're so busy guilt-ridden over the addiction you have to your devices that you fail to believe anyone else can set them down for more than 30 minutes at a time. Yeah, that's right. I say you smarmy anti-technology elitists are projecting your own guilt on us. How about you think inside yourself a little bit before you go off on your ill-conceived manifestos? Not bad for a warm-up. Topic number two. Every once in a while, there's a shitstorm in the media of the most insignificant things. To quote one of my favorite karaoke songs, it started out with a kiss. How did it end up like this? It was only a kiss. It was only a kiss. The guy was a Southeast Conference Defensive Player of the Year, but he had a bad NFL combine, causing many teams to question if he was worthy of a high draft pick. He ended up going to the St. Louis Rams in the 7th round. Oh, and he's gay. No other player who had a bad combine and saw their stock drop in the draft got cameras put on them. But Michael Sam had the media's attention. ESPN was only there because if he were drafted, he would become the first openly gay player in the NFL. If he makes the team, of course. As a late pick like that, it is far from guaranteed that he'll find a spot on the team. So, ESPN is already making his sexuality the story instead of the potential talent. He's a ratings draw for the network, which almost makes me feel a little sorry for the guy. If we didn't find out later that he was trying to get his own reality show produced by Oprah. Regardless, ESPN is at his home while he waits by the phone to learn if he's been selected by a team. And when he's finally picked by the Rams, ESPN had the cameras on him. And then, if you were to believe the smarmy elitists in the neoconservative religious right, the end of the world happened. Michael Sam, gay athlete, kissed his boyfriend on live TV. Oh, brother. A couple of days later, a tea party rep on a show, who I get the impression is the epitome of soccer mom, said that when Sam kissed his partner on ESPN, she jumped to her son and covered his eyes. That was narrow-minded enough, but she took it a step further. She later said that ESPN should have put some kind of alert to let people know that a gay kiss was coming. Are you out of your fucking mind, lady? How about, rather than building up walls of ignorance around your son and treating the situation like some taboo horror movie, you teach your son that these things exist, whether or not you agree with them. It's called preparing your children for real life. And to actually say that there should have been some kind of warning? Are you that stupid to think that anyone, gay, straight, bi, man, woman, transgendered, getting potentially career-altering and even life-altering news is not going to celebrate it with people he loves? If you're going to bitch about that kiss, why are you not shielding your son's eyes from spontaneous heterosexual kissing from other draft picks to their wives and girlfriends? And don't give me that bullshit that straight kisses are wholesome and the rest aren't. Because I would be willing to bet you, smarmy elitists, that somebody you know, somebody that you esteem in a position of religious authority, either personally or some celebrity evangelist, is having an affair. And how wholesome is that in your sheltered little world? Either that or they're secretly gay. Ooh, maybe they're having a gay affair. Then there's the flip side. The reaction to the reaction to the kiss. I did hear some good rebuttals. Andy Levy on Red Eye comes to mind, even though he deserves kudos, because I think he was pretty steamed as a conservative who voiced her displeasure. But not everyone went with respectful discourse. I had a friend post a meme with some uppity-looking old lady, probably some arty film that they would only show at the Bijou Theater. It stated, "My dear, religion is like a penis. It's a perfectly fine thing for one to have and to take pride in. But when one takes it out and waves it in my face, we have a problem." Now, I will admit, it is clever. And part of me, when I first read it, wanted to chuckle. But it just left a bad taste in my mouth. No pun intended. You've taken a pretty disrespectful reaction to the kiss and returned an equally disrespectful response. We have to realize something right now. If you throw something in people's faces, expect people to throw it back in your face. I find the supercilious religious people to be excessively annoying. And examples of their idiocy, like demanding that kissing men should have some kind of warning label, are anathema to me. These boorish people are smarmy jerks who just can't stand the thought of anything outside their narrow vision of morality. More examples on that later. I find the supercilious anti-religious backlash to be equally disgusting. Frankly, I'm tired of all of it. I'm sick of religious people telling me it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. As much as I am sick of the other side chanting, "We're here, we're queer, get used to it." I said it before and I'll say it again. The best thing you can do to get people to respect the way you live your life is to respect the way they live their life. That means you treat your friends with the rainbow sticker on their car the same way you treat the people with the fish. You treat your friends with the Bible verse t-shirts the same way you would treat the people with the gay pride shirts. And it doesn't matter whether or not deep inside you think they're going to hell or should go to hell. Be outwardly respectful, and you will find allies where you least expect. And maybe those inside thoughts will change and make you a better person too. Next topic. Nearly 16 years ago, I was smoking between a half a pack to a full pack of Marlboro Lights a day, depending upon how stressed I felt. I was on the balcony outside my apartment smoking while talking on the phone to this girl I was really interested in. I had just successfully thrown her a surprise birthday party earlier that night. As we're talking, she suddenly says, "Are you smoking?" Now, how she figured out that I was smoking while we were talking on the phone, I have no idea. But I said, "Yeah, I was." She tells me, "I'm not going to date a guy who smokes." I said, "Okay." And I threw the cigarette away, and I said, "I quit." Since that moment, I have had a total of one cigarette. It was in Puerto Rico. It was 2004. There was a sexy woman talking with me who offered me one, and I was drunk. By the way, worst decision ever. All I could smell for the next 12 hours was stale cigarette smoke. It was horrible. Anywho, the girl who wouldn't date me if I smoked did eventually date me and became engaged to me and married me. Best decision ever. The thing is, I went through a long phase where I didn't mind being around others who smoked because I used to be a smoker myself. I understood. The past few years, though, I've become less tolerable. A couple of nights ago, I went out to watch the Spurs game with a friend who smokes. We sat outside in the smoking section, and I had to try to position myself upwind to minimize my discomfort. I just don't like it. I wish people wouldn't do it, but it is their choice, and I will respect their decisions, and I will respect the business owner for having a patio where smokers can congregate in San Antonio, because now you can't do it inside anymore. You would think that if somebody found a way for people to minimize the toxins people put into their body while smoking, while giving them the same sensation, smarmy elitists would be all for it. Nope. The latest trend in smoking, and therefore the latest trend in government interference with smoking, is electronic cigarettes, colloquially known as vaping, like you didn't already know that. Because the device produces vapor as a means of transmitting the substances into the body instead of smoke. Does vaping help you stop smoking? Is it healthier than smoking? I don't know. The World Health Organization, the same organization who buried a study that showed secondhand smoke is harmless, says that there is no evidence vaping is better than smoking. So you can see how much I trust the World Health Organization to tell us the truth. But what it all comes down to is, who cares? If people want to smoke, let them smoke. If people want to vape, let them vape. It's their choice. All I know is I can tolerate the smell of vaping around me, but the smell of cigarettes is not something I care to deal with anymore. But like I said, The smarmy elitists can't keep their noses out of it. They want vaping banned in public places, just like smoking. It doesn't matter if it may help people quit. It doesn't matter if it may be less harmful than smoking. It looks like smoking. And that is bad enough for these elitists. The sad thing is, even if vaping is a healthier alternative, they will already have their bans in place. And you can see from the marijuana red tape just how difficult overturning a ban can be. Just let people do what they want, and especially the business owners, who can decide how they want their establishments to be run. If a bar wants to allow vaping, or smoking, or both, let them, and get the hell out of our business. Okay, I'm skipping a couple things because I'm running out of time, so I'll have to table them for later, maybe next month. Last topic. The gift that keeps on giving. Rick Santorum. I knew it was going to be something when it was announced that good old Sanctum Santorum was going to be on The Independence with three libertarian hosts. And you know he didn't disappoint. Honestly, the lead host, Kennedy, has a really, really bad habit of talking over people, and it's really, really annoying, but this time, I couldn't blame her, given the smarmy, neoconservative hairball that Santorum was coughing up on live television. I found myself talking to my TV, rebutting what he was saying. The last time a Republican got me that riled up, I was shouting at Newt Gingrich while listening to the candidates debate in the shower. Sorry for that image. But regarding Santorum, apparently I wasn't the only one getting annoyed. The Daily Poll website called it a heated, frothy mess of moralistic posturing. Frothy. What a great word. Since there's been so much commentary about it, I'm going to quote some of these sites that have already done a good job. The Libertarian Republic stated, Santorum dismissed Kennedy's concerns, claiming that libertarian ideas can't work in the real world, and criticized the idea of the right to happiness. The Pennsylvania senator claimed to have the moral authority on true happiness, believing that happiness isn't being able to do whatever you want to do. Okay, that true happiness shit is going to spin me out into a rant. So first off, let's review a small sample of the ideas that Santorum has supported. After all, if he thinks our ideas don't work, surely he supports ideas that do work. Santorum has supported raising the minimum wage, voted for No Child Left Behind and Medicare Part D, and has encouraged the Republican Party to abandon the small government ideas of Ronald Reagan and Barry Goldwater. Raising the minimum wage. He's right in the sense that that is definitely not a libertarian idea. Libertarians believe, with facts to back it up, that an artificially forced increase by government of the minimum wage forces businesses to decrease the amount of hiring in order to protect the overall profitability of the business. It prohibits inexperienced people from getting access to low-level entry jobs that they can use as a foundation to grow upon. Why have a kid pump gas for customers and learn the value of good service when it costs much less to get an automated gas pump? Why have a kid sweep up the barbershop and learn the value of a detailed attention to the job when it costs so much to hire him that the owner may as well just clean the damn place up on his own? It's the law of unintended consequences. You raise the wage to look good and get votes, but you started a chain reaction of lost youth who feel, rightly so, that they can't get a decent starting job. Oh, and you also raise the cost of living on everyone because you've also raised the overall expenses of nearly every business in the country. Idiots. No Child Left Behind. Certainly not a libertarian idea. One of these days, I'm going to do a podcast on education. You shackle the teachers with government regulation. You make it more of a burden to impart knowledge to children. You maneuver the teachers into incentives that require them to teach to the test. The students just regurgitate the right answer at the right time and get to the next level. It's a sick quiz show that government has turned our schools into. Who wants to be a graduate? Not that the teachers' blind allegiance to their unions is blameless, but that's another rant for another day. Medicare Part D, assuredly not a libertarian idea. Yet another government scheme to run healthcare for individuals, cleverly packaged as a must for our society to help those in need. A flood of taxpayer dollars filtered through an additional middleman of government who gladly takes their cut before doling out a product inferior to any sensible free market solution. Abandoning small government ideals espoused by Reagan and Goldwater. Reagan, not so much a libertarian icon. Goldwater, maybe. Yeah, clearly Sanctum Sanctorum has next to nothing in common with libertarians. He is a typical big government Republican conservative who thinks he knows better than we idiots how to run our lives. He even said it himself. Kennedy actually pulled a quote of his and used it against him during the interview. He stated previously about radical individualists that they have this idea that people should be left alone, be able to do whatever they want to do. Government should keep our taxes down and keep our regulations low. That we shouldn't get involved in the bedroom. We shouldn't get involved in cultural issues. That is not how traditional conservatives view the world. And for the most part, he's right. That's why I left conservatism. This is not conservatives on one side and liberals on the other. This is conservatives and liberals on one side encircling our rights like sharks about to go on a feeding frenzy on some wounded sea lion, while libertarians are on the other side, desperately trying to save those freedoms before they're lost for generations to come. And when talking about that happiness that libertarians are too interested in, Sanctum stated, "True happiness, not pleasure and enjoyment as we see happiness today, but doing what you ought to do, doing what God has oriented you to do. In other words, doing the right thing, not doing whatever you wanted to do." Mediaite stated, he added that government's duty is to protect your ability to do what you ought to do. In other words, what Santorum finds virtuous. I know a lot of people just want this guy to drop out of the public spotlight altogether. But I don't mind him too much because every time he opens his mouth, it just gives him more room to stick his foot in. And gives me at least a good 10 minutes of podcast time. It's really as simple as this. Rick Santorum, Sanctum Sanctorum, the Holy of Santorums, only wants you to pursue happiness that conforms to his narrow definition. The smarm off of this elitist is palpable. Pinjalet said it simply, "I don't know what's best for other people." Agreed. I don't know if the best thing for you is to put your smartphone down at the dinner table, or disengage from it completely so you can rejoin social interaction. I don't know if the best thing for you is heterosexuality, homosexuality, bisexuality, or even asexuality. I don't know if the best thing for you is monogamy or polyamory. I don't know if it's better for you to have your moral compass accept or reject variations on your current moral code. You know what is best for you. Only you. I can suggest and opine my point of view, but there is no way I could ever fully know yours. That's why I've stated in the past, collectivism could work, but only if it was voluntary. Once you try to force others to conform to your ideas, you become part of the evil, no matter how good your idea is. These smarmy elitists are part of the problem. They are part of the evil. They're the ones who whisper their schemes into the ears of power. They're the ones who vote to ban the rights of others. They're the ones who project their shortcomings on us. Enough. I don't care what you want to put in your body. Tobacco smoke? Don't care. Fried foods and trans fats? Don't care. Another man's penis? Don't care. Do what makes you happy. Live at peace with others. If your actions do not directly interfere with the rights of others or put people in unwanted peril, then do what you want. And to hell with the smarmy elitists who try to force you to do something else. It's really as simple as that. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.